Hey, what's going on, everyone? My name is J.R. Robinson. Now, I'd like to welcome you to When He Speaks Erotica from a Man's Perspective. And as always, I want to say thank you to everyone who listened to this platform. Tonight, I'm going to talk about how to identify and remove yourself from a toxic relationship. So please do me a favor, sit back and relax, and I'll be right back with the question of the night. Hey, so the question of the night is it really an emotional affair if we're just friends? There's a lot of confusion out there about what exactly, you know, really constitutes an emotional affair. Is it when we're emotionally attached to someone who isn't our partner? When we're emotionally involved in our work, even if it's just for fun? Or is it something more serious, like when we're in a committed relationship with our emotional involvement with someone else is impacting the quality of the relationship, the quality of our relationship? In general, an emotional affair is defined as any type of relationship or connection that takes away from our primary relationship. This can be anything from talking on the phone for several hours a day or having sexual fantasies about someone else. If you're not happy in your primary relationship, an emotional affair can provide the excitement and validation that you're missing. Keyword, validation and excitement. Both of these terms come into play when it's like when you're in a dull relationship, when you feel like you're being taken for granted, and when you're unhappy. People seek validation. However, just because you're having feelings for someone else doesn't mean that your relationship is automatically doomed. It is important to communicate with your partner and figure out what the hell is really going on. Is it really an emotional affair, or are we just friends? The answer for most is hell yeah, it's an emotional affair. These people believe that just being friends with someone who you're romantically interested in is the same as being in a relationship with them. Others say that a friendship with someone you're interested in is not the same as a romantic relationship and should be treated as such. Friends with benefits has all types of hype. I mean, it's like the thing to do, the end thing these days. And some may say for good reason, meaning that they're fun, they can be fulfilling, and can be a great way to keep things exciting in a long-term relationship. Now, there's some pros and cons to these friends with benefit type relationships. So it's important to weigh them both before deciding whether or not this is the right type of relationship for you. The definition of an emotional affair is murky and undefined. However, there's some general characteristics that can be said to be associated with emotional affairs. Generally, an emotional affair is in a relationship that's not primarily sexual. That depends. I mean, most friends with benefits relationships or emotional relationships do end up being sexual. And sometimes sex is like the main reason for seeking these types of relationships. Because a lot of people will say, yeah, you know, I'm not getting what I want. I just want to talk. It's only so much you can talk about until you get those feelings. And next thing you know, it's a lot more than talking. These feelings may include intimacy, passion, and secrecy. Often those involved in emotional relationships will claim that their relationship is not really an affair because it's not involving sex. Yeah. To me, emotional affairs are just a gateway to trouble. And it's in this day and time, it's enough information and enough resources for you to know that the minute you step away and entertain someone else helping you or giving you advice or just being there for you, being that attentive ear, you are bringing a storm of trouble to your relationship. Signs of emotional affair, your phone being on lock, your spouse or your partner don't have access to your phone, that need to have a spouse at the job who is looked at as your husband or wife. That's what I'm trying to say. And let someone, you know, sharing secrets. Sharing secrets what goes on in your primary relationship. How do you deal with emotional affairs? For me, personally, I just end them. I just do. I mean, because if you are that in tune with someone else that's other than me, and we're supposed to be in a relationship, then we're not in a relationship. We're in a threesome. It's just I don't know what's going on until I find out. And if that's what you're looking for, that's not what I'm looking for. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, a threesome would have been nice, but now, as a more settled and man of a certain age, you can't come to me and say, well, I had to talk to him because, or he's my friend because you didn't do. Once you say it, because I didn't do what I was supposed to do, that's it. You ain't got to say nothing else. You've already made up in your mind, and there's no way I'm going to change that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I can put all the effort in trying to change your thoughts and trying to get you to see that you're important to me. But if you don't put that same energy into me, and if you're giving me half or a third or a quarter of what I'm giving you, then it's not going to work. I'm not saying it to nobody. I don't give a fuck who it is. There's no man, if I'm in a relationship, that's going to come before me. You know, a woman can't tell me, well, I like him better or I want to be with him. Okay. I don't need to fight for your love because you've made up in your mind. Once you let the words come out your mouth that I want to be with him or he helps me or he understands me more, what the fuck can I do? There's nothing else I need to say or do to you but goodbye. Have a nice life and enjoy, you know, your relationship and move forward. Plain and simple. But what's funny to me, some people say that, but they can't maintain that. They constantly going back. And don't get me wrong. There's been a couple of times I have went back. But it's been, I can count on my hand how many times. And I think it's been less than four, that I've actually went back to a woman or to a certain degree begged a woman to come back to me. And one in particular was my ex-wife. Now, because of the children, because at that point I really didn't want to lose her because I had been knowing her since the third grade. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I knew. That's what I felt comfortable with. But once the damage was done, then she didn't want to be, you know, involved. And I had to get to a point of realizing it. So to wrap this up, I think it is possible to have an emotional affair with her. For some people. I'm not going to say for everybody. There's some people who can have it and, you know, actually not fuck. It's in a low, low percentage of people doing it. And I'm not going to put a number on it, but it's very low. But it is important to be honest with yourself and your friend about your feelings. If you are not sure whether or not you're emotionally involved with your friend, it is best to take some take some time apart to reassess your relationship and understand what it is that's going on. Get a true understanding. So both parties be on the same page. There's no miscommunication. If you're going to be there for me emotionally, you cannot approach me in a sexual manner. Or if feelings start to develop, let me know, and then we can stop with this, because sex is not what I'm looking for. If you're being honest with yourself. If not, let the chips fall and do you. But, you know, it's one of those things where, to me, it's kind of like people like being on the fence about this subject. You know what I'm saying? It caters to what it is that they need, or their reasoning. So it's kind of like a crutch. You know? Anyway, I'll be right back with the topic of the night. So my topic for tonight is how to identify and remove yourself from a toxic relationship. Toxic relationships. There are certain topics I like to stay away from. The word toxic is just so negative to me, you know. And a lot of times, me being a spiritual person, I try not to associate myself with certain words or certain meanings or certain definitions, because of the energy that it brings. Just for me, just speaking about toxic just has that eerie, crazy vibe. So, like I said, there's a few topics that I just on purpose stay away from. But then it gets to a point where I go through my content calendar and I look at and see what it is that I've talked about. And my thing is not to keep talking about the same thing. I try to. You know, there are times where I may have had, talked about a subject, and maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, I may change it to a question, you know, in the question segment of my podcast. But the toxic relationship hadn't, I hadn't talked about that. So, y'all got to bear with me with this one, because it throws me off. And because I have caused some toxic relationships, you know what I'm saying? I understand. I recognize that a lot of stuff that I talk about is a lot of stuff that I have gone through. You know what I'm saying? Because when I first started the podcast, I said I'm not going to be talking about who I am or what I did in my past that much. But slowly but surely, certain relationships or certain conversation can turn into certain situations that I've been in, or that I've had experience with, or, you know, I know someone closely who has gone through, you know, what it is that the podcast is about. So once I recognize that, hey, just go with the flow, just whatever it is, just talk about it. That's when everything started to get comfortable, and that's when I started getting to a point where I could talk about relationships and talk about situations and talk about, you know, how I was when I was fucking up and, you know, not being such a good boyfriend, husband, partner, you know. So I was a toxic person, you know what I'm saying? Not so much a toxic person, but I created toxic situations, and from that, the relationship is toxic. So now that I have identified, now that I have, you know, gone off on my little whatever and identified myself as someone who is toxic, then I can talk about it. So I know that there's something that everybody feels about the word toxic. I know some people go through the same thing. Some may not admit it, but when you're real with yourself, you realize that, hey, I might have caused this relationship to be a little toxic with my actions, with my words, sometimes with my vibe. So, hey guys, I know that it's not something you want to think about, but we all have had a toxic relationship. Whether it's been with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your friends, your family, even your dog. Sometimes we even toxic to ourselves from time to time. I'm going to go ahead and dive into how to identify toxic relationships. And once you identify, and if it's not for you, if it's not workable, you got to break up. You got to move away from it. Because if you don't, it's going to eat you up inside. And it's going to, you know, cause some physical problems, some emotional problems, stress, heartache, depression can come from being in toxic relationships and not identifying with them and break and leaving them if it's not something that you can work out. We all want to be in healthy relationships that will last a lifetime. That's the goal, to find someone and to be happy about picket fence, dog, a boy and a girl, and just live life as happily about. That's the ultimate goal. Now, that goal is very attainable, but the thing is, sometimes when trying to reach that goal comes a little work. Or comes a lot of work. One thing you have to do with toxic relationships, you have to recognize it from the beginning. When you see it, jump on it. A toxic relationship is one that causes you to feel confused, unhappy, depressed, and even anxious. Toxic relationships may cause you to feel nervous, sad, and guilty. Guilty. Now, I guess if you're doing some shit that you ain't got no business doing, I definitely can identify with that. Because there's been times when I felt like I was getting away with shit. And lo and behold, out of the blue, that shit would come and bother me. Like, you know you done fucked up, right? You know she gonna catch you. It's only a matter of time before she finds something to say that you was fucking around. I've actually had those conversations with myself when I'm sitting there smoking a cigar and thinking life is good. That shit creeps into your head. Because no matter how slick or how on point you think you are, the mind fucks with you. And I don't know if it was the alcohol. I don't know if it was the fact of the nicotine. That's it. The nicotine. The nicotine from the cigar or, you know, other extracurricular activities that I may have partaken in. But feeling guilty? I don't know. I honestly think because of how my mom and my grandmother raised me, that shit came back. My upbringing started to resurface. And that's why the guilt, you know, took place. Because I'm not saying my mom's and my grandmother was the most uprighteous people, but they lived by a certain Christianity code or a certain level of being morally in tune or correct. You know what I'm saying? So they put that imprint on me and my brothers and sisters. And it just comes back to you. You know what I'm saying? The way you are raised will ultimately come back to you if you're fucking up or if you're doing something wrong. You may often feel alone, isolated, or depressed, or desperate. You may struggle with sleeping, eating, drinking. Diffusing the situation may require talking it over with a counselor. Ultimately, it may be best to just leave the situation. And leaving the situation, 9 times out of 10, is one of the best things you can do. Because I think with that small number, you want to work it out. You have time together. You have kids. You have property, whatever. And you want to give it a shot. You don't want to give up on someone. You don't want to give up on a relationship. But then when it becomes that it's inevitable, and you got to move forward for your sanity, just to have a peace of mind, just to see if there's someone else who can give you something better than what you get from the motherfucker who's stressing the fuck out, you got to go for it. You got to take that leap of faith. There's no reason why you shouldn't. You ain't got nothing to lose. You're dealing with a toxic motherfucker in a toxic relationship. Shit, you might as well. I know there was a time when I would see people and I would just sit and try to figure out, why would you let someone just drag you through the mud like that? Why would you let him kiss up on somebody? Why would you let some woman be all over him? And why would you not address that? Why are you being humble to the shit that he's taking you through? Now, with myself, like I said, it took me a while to get to why I did certain things, or why, let me think about this. Have I let anybody treat me any kind of way because I loved them? Maybe one. Because I didn't believe in it. I didn't believe that love would cure everything. If the first time you was ugly with me, or the first time you was disrespectful, that's it. You gets no more run. You gets no more time for me. I shut a motherfucker off quick. So for me to actually have let someone just dog me, or to, you know, handle me any kind of way, was fucking rare. And like I said, it had to happen one time, because mentally I'm not built like that. I'm not built just to accept any motherfuckers, any woman's shit. Not gonna happen. Now, there have been times where I tolerated until I got what I needed, whatever it was. But for the most part, if I sensed, you can sense a motherfucker. You can tell if a motherfucker is toxic before you even deal with them, before you even get to that point of really, you know, building a relationship. For me, it was like being like Wolverine or like a bloodhound. I could sniff a motherfucker out quick. And sometimes I would go the other way. You know what I'm saying? So, ultimately, if it's not right, if it don't feel right, if you get that feeling on the back of your neck where your hair on the back of your neck starts to raise, then that's not the relationship for you. That's not the move. You know, sometimes recognizing a toxic relationship can be difficult, because often people are blinded by love. Blinded by love. I think that might be a topic. Blinded by love. Because when you're young, love is very, when you fall in love at a young age, you think that is the best feeling in the world, because you don't know no better. You're pure, you know what I'm saying? You're just getting out there, and you know, you may have heard conversations and seen certain TV shows or movies and got an idea of what love is. But when you actually are in love as a young person, there's no better feeling. And you'll never have that feeling ever again. Later on in life, you may get closer, but you'll never be that in love as you get older. It's not common. You know what I'm saying? When toxic relationships begin, you often don't realize that they're toxic because you're blinded by love. Relationships occur when the relationship fulfills these type. A toxic relationship can occur when when this type of relationship fulfills only one side of the relationship. When it's important, or when it fulfills the need of one partner, which is selfish. So once you recognize that you are in a toxic relationship, the next thing you need to do is either decide that's what you're going to be in, or if you use your common sense, plan an escape. Escaping for a relationship of emotional abuse is delicate. We've all heard about the Cinderella story, but we all know that the fairy tale don't exist. As sad as this is, women are abused every day, and many are trapped in toxic relationships, mentally, verbally, physically, sexually abused every day, and don't know how or don't have a fucking idea how to get out of a relationship, how to get out of that toxic relationship. And that's sad. That's heartbreaking. No matter how toxic their relationship is, you must get away. You gotta run. I gotta get away. I can't deal with this shit. Move on. And this may be difficult, but it's necessary. The best thing that you can do for your relationship is just let it go. It's not worth sticking around for something that will not benefit you. Now, once you plan to escape, start making changes. Toxic relationships will make you feel worthless or ineffective. They exist everywhere, friendships, marriages. Some tend to believe that if you're in an unhealthy relationship, it's hard to leave because you're afraid of being alone. Try and do the things on your own, and then you will feel the relationship. Try to do the things that's best for you, and then you will start to feel that the relationship needs to not exist. You need to step off. You need to just get away. Make up in your mind that you deserve more, and go get more. Find someone or find a situation that's good for you and that's best for you, and act on it. Last one, break up. End it. I'm out of here. See ya. Peace. Leaving relationships can be one of the most difficult life decisions you will ever make. After all, you're investing your time and energy into another person, and it's easy to fall in love with that person. However, if you really care about yourself, you will eventually realize that the relationship with your ex, even if it's on bad terms, is not good for you. A relationship can be toxic as a schoolyard bully. It is ridiculous how much this toxic individual can negatively affect your life and your way of thinking. At the end of the day, you walk away. You can walk away, but you shouldn't. Just because this person treats you poorly doesn't mean that you're supposed to let their behavior change who you are, who you become. Leave them behind and move forward. And don't be afraid to start new. Time is the best healer. The days, the weeks, the months, and years of being in a relationship where a toxic person will fade from memory. You'll forget the pain, the sadness, and the loneliness. and you'll forget the sleepless nights, the arguments, the looks, and the snide remarks. Summarize this up, toxic people exist in all walks of life. And it is important to recognize these toxic people in your life. If you notice you're having a hard time getting through a conversation or feel, or you feed off negativity, it could be a sign you have a toxic relationship in your life. However, it's not always easy to know if that person in your life is toxic. So once you figure it out, once you recognize, plan your escape, start to make a change or break up, then you can leave a toxic relationship. And on that note, I'm going to end this podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening, everybody for supporting the podcast. Thank you. Keep listening. Keep sharing. Keep subscribing. Check out other podcasts. You know, if you're looking for something different than what I'm giving you, you know what I'm saying? Everybody got their different taste. I support everybody who is in this genre, you know, talking about relationships. And recently I was doing some research, and I see that there's a lot of relationship topics. A lot of relationship programs and podcasts and YouTube channels. And so if my delivery or if my podcast is not what you need, then do your research and find something that's tailored to what it is that you're looking for. Everybody got a different stroke, you know what I'm saying? And I don't have no problem, you know, shouting out everybody else who's doing this and providing you with, you know, someone else that may be able to help you. Because trust me, if you're going through something in your relationship, you know, I'm not saying you got to take people advice or listen to what people tell you to do. Nah, just, you know, use it accordingly, or just, you know, listen to it for entertainment. However you choose to use it, know that it's available to help you with relationships. You know what I'm saying? Or divorces, or, you know, sexual problems in the bed. You know, still working on this book, man. Still, it is driving me crazy. You know, I'm gonna get it done. Also, anybody who need any help on anything, or anything they want to talk about, anything you want to critique me on, you can hit me up at whenhespeakserotica@gmail.com. I don't mind, you know, critiques or conversations, as long as you are respectful. And if you're a content creator, and if you create this type of content or whatever content you create, and if someone tries to discourage you, fuck them. Tell them to kiss your ass and keep it moving. Because there's a lot of negative people who are unwilling to be creative or try to shit on your, you know, what it is that you do just to be nasty. So just ignore them and be the best content creator that you can be. And on that note, man, y'all take care of yourselves, and I'll talk to y'all later. Peace.